good to have my fan club. I've got my parents here, got Sedona here, my cousin, and John and Leslie here. So it's good to have them here too. This evening, like I told you this morning, we'll be talking about how shall the young secure their heart, just like the song we just sang. We're going to be talking to the younger people. Like I said this morning, and I won't say it again because I don't want the evil eye, this sermon isn't for the older necessarily. I'm trying to direct it to the younger, but we will find out that it will apply to all. The title of my lesson is Song 435, How Shall the Young Secure Their Heart? We find in Psalms 119, verse 9, that this is where it's found. In the New King James Version, it says, How can a young man cleanse his way? And the New American Standard Version says, How can a young man keep his ways pure? In this lesson, we will find some ways to exhort ourselves to live and keep our hearts pure. First of all, we encourage you to separate yourself from places and people of sin. We find in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, it says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? We find we need to choose our friends wisely. Because what's it say in 1 Corinthians 15:33? It says, Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. So we see that these friends we choose, they do have a strong influence on our life. We find in Romans 12 and verse 2, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we see we don't want to be conformed to this world. We don't want to be joined to this world. And above all, we don't want to love this world. If you will, turn to John, the book of John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 and through 17. Verses 15 says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we need to keep ourselves away from the world. We also need to separate ourselves from practices of sin. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:22, it says, Keep thyself pure. We also need to purge ourselves from sin as illustrated in 2 Corinthians 7:1, where we're told, Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. If you will, go ahead and turn in the Old Testament, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm sorry, Proverbs 26, 27. We find here we're not to tamper with sin because if we do, we will get burned. Proverbs 6, 27 says, Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes and be not burned? So we need to stay as far away from evil as we can. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22 says, Abstain from all appearances of evil. We need to be wise enough to identify things that are harmful to our soul and doing all it takes to avoid them. Next, we encourage you to surrender yourself. Surrender ourselves through our time. We need to use our time wisely. We're told in Ephesians 5:15 through 16, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. It's difficult to comprehend the waste of time we have just by watching television. I found by the age of 20, the average person, American, will have been exposed to at least 20,000 hours of television. Let's calculate that for a moment. What can be done, and just even a part of that? We find that an undergraduate, college undergraduate spends working on his bachelor's degrees about 5,000 hours. In 10,000 hours, we see we could have learned to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. We could have had time to learn the original Greek and Hebrew and even speak fluently in it. We would have had enough time to walk around the world and wrote 2 books about it. Yes, we will give an account to our Creator of how we spend our time, so we need to use it wisely. We need to discipline ourselves to have pure speech, as commanded in Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of the mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You know, Boaz, he was a good example of this back in Ruth 2 and verse 24, where it reads, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you." Something so simple. And what did they answer? How did they answer him? They said, "The Lord bless thee." So our speech shows what's in our heart. If you would turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 23, and it talks here of surrendering our hearts. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And also in that same book, in chapter 23 and verse 7. 23 and verse 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." We've all heard the expression, "You are what you eat." The same is true spiritually. You are what you think. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, "We must strive to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We should always strive to have the mind of Christ in Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says real quickly, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Next of all, we've separated ourselves. We've surrendered ourselves. Now we encourage you to deny yourself. First of all, I'd like to note the words of Jesus in Luke 9:23. Go ahead and turn there real quickly. Luke 9, verse 23. It says, "And he said to them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." What do you see in that scripture? What all do you see? First of all, I see there's a decision. It says, "If any man desires to come after me," and we've talked about desire this morning. So there is a choice that needs to be made. There's a denial. It says, "Let him deny himself." So we must be willing to sacrifice ourselves. Next, there's a dedication. It says, and take up thy cross daily." We must follow Jesus wherever he leads and have a continual commitment. And also, there's a determination. It says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I'm sorry. And we're supposed to follow him. And in Matthew 4, 19, verse 20, it says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And that next verse says, "They immediately left their nets and followed him." We all needed to deny ourselves from pride. A man once wrote, "Teenagers, if you're tired of being hassled by your parents, now is the time for action. Leave home, pay your own way, while you still know everything." You know, it seldom occurs to teenagers, and I can say that now because I'm full of age and an adult now, so mature. I don't understand why there's so much laughing. That wasn't a joke. But they don't realize that they will at one time know as little as their parents do. This here also was written by an unknown author, and it's so true to our life today, and I found this out. 4 years of age, my mommy can do anything. 8 years of age, my mom knows a lot. She knows a whole lot. 12 years, my mother doesn't know quite everything. 14 years old, mother doesn't know anything. 16, mom is hopeless and old-fashioned. 18 years of age, I know more than my mom does. 25, you know, it's amazing how mom has gotten wiser, and I see that now. 35 years of age, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. 45, what would mom have thought about it? And 65, wish I could talk it over with my mother. Instead of being wrapped up in our own interests, let's genuinely submit to our parents. I'd like to look at a familiar passage. We all know, sometimes we skip over it, especially us younger, in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Another old illustration I like to use real quick is ancient history records that a certain city was besieged and at length was encouraged to surrender. In that city were two brothers that in some way the king was indebted. In consequence, they received permission to leave the city before it was destroyed, taking with them as much of their property as they could carry. Accordingly, the two men appeared at the gates of the city, one carrying the father and the other carrying their mother. Where do we place our parents? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. After denying ourselves, we encourage you to stand for the truth. Stand up for the Lord, as we find in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We need to stand also like Daniel did back in Daniel, the first chapter in verse 8. Let's go ahead and turn back there real quick. Daniel 1 and verse 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We find about after 70 years, after David proposed to live for God, he was freed from the lion's den. He made his commitment, and there was no turning back. Also, in Daniel, while we're there, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Therefore, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, are we committed as Daniel? Now in Daniel 3, and verse 24, the Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. These three young men were gladly willing to take a stand, even though they knew full and well it could cost them their life. We need to put on the whole armor of God. If you will turn to Ephesians 6, in verse 13, it tells us this. Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. If we don't make our stand for God and His cause, He will not stand in our behalf on the great day of judgment. In Mark 8 and verse 34, starting in verse 34, I'd like to read this real quick on this point here. Mark 8 and 34. It says, And when He had called the people unto Him, with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and My word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in glory of His Father with the holy angels. So we need to make our stand. We also, lastly, we encourage you to develop yourself. I'd like to again look back in the Old Testament scriptures in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. We'll be reading a few scriptures in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, or after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And also in back in Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs 3, 6 through 7. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. We need to make God a vital part of our lives. We need to make up our mind that we will, for the rest of our lives, worship with the people of God as commanded in the Scriptures. We also need to study the Word ourselves. We ask the question, how do we keep our lives pure? Back in Psalms 119 verse 9, what's the second verse or part of that verse say? It says, how do they keep our ways pure? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. We don't need to be weak, sick, or a lukewarm Christian. We need to develop ourselves into a knowledgeable, capable teacher of God's will. And by doing this, we will make ourselves strong. And through the years to come, we will lead each other into salvation. We need to be a ready volunteer in the Lord's service. Put your heart and soul into it and do it. What did we read this morning? The things you've learned, heard, and seen in Me, do. Psalms 110, verse 3. Says, Psalms 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and the beauties of holiness from thy womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Develop yourself so you can be proud of yourself. If you would, go ahead and get your psalm books out. Turn to the song that's been selected. So again, I ask, how shall the young secure their hearts? Separating yourselves from the world, surrendering ourselves to God, denying ourselves of our own wants, standing yourself for the truth, and developing ourselves into strong Christians. We pray that the young as well as ourselves, will grow and have our develop ourselves so that we may always live well with our soul. And in the ages to come, when our bodies have long since been decayed, we will stand at Mount Zion singing the new song of Moses and the Lamb. And when asked, who are these arrayed in white Roman, or white robes before the throne? The answer will come, these are the redeemed of the earth who follow the Lamb whithersoever he went. And these are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Think on these things as together we stand and sing the invitation song.